All right. Thank you for being here this morning. I didn't mention, but by the way, Brother Bobby, where's Brother Bobby? Good testimony. Great singing. Okay. I wish I had that voice, like 5%. That'd be great. If I'm not mistaken, Brother Bobby, you were put in jail for going to church one time, were you not? Exactly. Here in America, we don't face that, but he didn't just get up here and spin theory. He was working, I believe, in Saudi Arabia, and he was in an underground church, and they got raided, and he was in jail. Okay, so it's one thing to say you believe in church. It's another thing to put it on the line. And so I think sometimes if things aren't hard for us, we take them for granted. I mean, we can't come to church because, you know, we think all kinds of reasons, okay? He had a really good reason. I don't want to go to jail in a Muslim country, and yet he still went to church. He's crazy. Our theme for this summer is a summer to remember. And summer's a different time. I get it. Children out of school, you're probably bummed about that, right? Let's get them back into school. We do have summer school if you want to do that. I think that summer should be a great time. I don't think summer should be a time we take off from God. And I think summer should be a time we create memories. We look at our family sometimes, and I know as a parent myself, and I'm sure many of you do, you try to do things throughout the course of the year to create good memories for your family. Good memories of just times together, maybe spiritual times, encouraging them to do. We build our life is really not completely, but we build it around the church calendar. We look forward to different things we do, and we do things with our family together. And we're just trying to create those memories, good memories. You know, we decided a long time around here, we're not going to shut everything down and have a summer slump. We try to have a summer jump, okay? That's why we have the big Tuesday night going out. There's people out there, and summer's a time when you can talk to them a little better than maybe if you go in the evening in the fall. But we also want to use it as a time to strengthen Christians and provide opportunities to be together. And I know we all take vacations, and by the way, you ought to take a vacation with your family. Now, it ought not to be every weekend, okay? I take my vacation every Sunday. That's bad, okay? But go away. Just go away. Get out of here. But go away with your family and make it something nice that they enjoy doing, a yearly thing. But we want to be able to look back at our life and have memories that are good, things that we remember. We're going to look at a memory in someone's life today, and if you've we're paying attention to Scripture, you kind of get it, something that he wish he would have forgot. Because there are things we wish we would forget, okay? So our theme this summer is a summer to remember. My theme for my message is a summer to forget, okay, for all the wrong reasons. We know this story. It's very well known. This was the time when it was time to go to battle. Yeah. The kings went out. They went with their groups. They'd go out. They would go to war, and that was, by the way, in those days, I mean, it's still a thing in our society, in our world. There's always a war going on somewhere in the world. I read a statistic one time that said throughout known history, there's only been like 250, 260 years that there was not a war going on. There's always a war, particularly then, just the way things were, and it was very territorial. And so it was just part of life. We know from the stories in Scripture that David was a first-class warrior, okay? If he had to take somebody on by himself, Goliath, he did. If they needed to rally the troops and lead them, he did. When Saul tried to, Saul got jealous of David and said, I'm going to get rid of him, so here's what I'm going to do. My daughter loves him. Since he's my enemy, I'll make sure he marries my daughter. Now, I don't understand that concept there, but... So he said, go kill 100 Philistines and I'll let you marry her. And David's like, I'll go kill 200, all right? And so he was always, but David was a warrior. And so he should have been out there, but this time David decided to take this loop off. I'm not going to go. I'm going to sit this one out. He's choosing not to do what he should do. He's being irresponsible. And because he was irresponsible, he apparently was bored and laying around in his bed, and he decided to get up and go to the roof of his palace there and look around. And, of course, he sees a lady washing herself. And apparently she wasn't dressed very well. And instead of saying, hey, I should not be looking at this, he dwelled on it. And then he moved forward. Now, by the way, he already had six wives at this time, which in my estimation is five too many. Okay, maybe five and a half, I'm not sure. Just kidding. And he's like, keeps looking. And then he sins. Hey, who is this? Why don't you go find out who this is? Well, comes to find out, it's the wife of one of his warriors, not just one of his soldiers. The Bible, he had a troop that as the king, but also he had 40 mighty men. These guys were incredible. They followed him around. They were with him. And Uriah was one of them, and it was his wife. So what does David do? He sends for her. They were just going to hang out, right? I don't think so. So he brings her in, and you know the inevitable. She sends back after the incident is over, and she says she's pregnant. By the way, it was her body. It was her choice. She chose to use her body for immorality, and she got pregnant, and the choice was made. Once you get pregnant, the choice is over. I don't care what these lunatics in our society are saying. To think that they would die on the sword of killing unborn babies. It's illogical, it's idiotic, and it's evil. And we're never going to push off of that. And our idiotic state, come to our state, we'll pay for yours. Our state is going to pay for that, by the way. Every single one of those people, when they stand before God, it's going to be tragic. That's not the message. David decides he's going to cover it up. So he calls and has her husband come back from war, thinking he'll come home, he'll go home with his wife and think the baby's his. His thinking is totally out of whack. That doesn't work. He comes back and says, hey, I'm not going to go anywhere near my wife while my buddies are on the battlefield. So David gets him drunk. By the way, people say, oh, there's nothing wrong with drinking, really? David thought he would use alcohol to get him to do something that he wasn't going to do. That's a message for another day. And eventually David has to deal with it, so David devises this plan to save time, I won't go into it, to have him killed. You know, put him at the front where the war is really hot, and then have your soldiers kind of back off of him so that to make sure that of the casualties, he's one of them. And that's exactly what happens, and he dies. Now, if you look at all of this, if you read the whole chapter, it's just the story from the beginning until Uriah's dead, right? It's like this whole thing plays out, and if you're anything of a Christian, you're like, man, where's God? Where is God in all of this? Well, God has his say, the very last statement of verse 27, read it. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Everything, this whole story, there's nothing about God. There's nothing about doing the right thing. There's nothing about any of it. And it all seems to work out. Bathsheba's now David's wife. People that are good at math could probably figure out what happened. But David thought he could manage it. And then God just chips in and says, I'm displeased. This is not right. You see, we think we can sin successfully. But it wasn't just over that God was displeased. Look to chapter 12 for a second, and I'll just read a couple of verses here, and we'll get into the thought for this morning, and I will not be long. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 9. This is the prophet Nathan talking to him after he calls David out, and David's like, you're right, I'm wrong. He says, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. David didn't kill him. I mean, he was killed in war, but David worked it out to where he knew he'd be the one killed, and God's like, I'm not playing these games. By the way, you ever meet people like that? They want to do something wrong. Well, technically, I'm not. Stop that. God doesn't buy into that nonsense. David did not kill him, but God said, David, you killed him. You killed him with the sword. You set this up. Message for another day. And has taken his wife to be thy wife, and thou hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house. Now, here's the bad parts coming. By the way, that happened in David's family, did it not? And because thou hast despised me. David didn't hate God, but you know what? His actions said he did. And hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will rise up evil against thee out of thine own house. Did that not happen? His name was Absalom. And I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. I'm not going to explain that, but read the story. For thou did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. David paid a heavy price. Why? Because he didn't go to war, something he should have done. He sinned, something he should not have done. And he didn't confess, something he should have done. It's an episode in David's life that he wished he could have forgotten, but he can't. What led up to it? That's the point. I'll be honest, I've been doing this a long time. People get goofy in the summer. I don't get that. It's like, well, you know, I only need God when school starts back and my kids are back in school. Then we'll get back on target. You know, one small incident can cause a lot of drama. He should have been doing what he should have been doing. So here are the problems, briefly. I'm going to give them to you really quickly. Let's hang on. First of all, instead of going, he stayed. He stayed. By the way, if he doesn't stay at home, he goes to war. You know what he's going to see at war? A bunch of warriors. He's not going to see some woman taking a bath. I don't even know where that is. He's not going to see all that. Then he's not going to take that next step. He should have been where he should have been. But you know why he was there? Because he was ignoring his responsibility. Look at verse 1 of chapter 11. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at that time when kings go forth to battle. Now, I'm not a brain surgeon, but I am smarter than most of you. No. So it was a time when who goes to battle? Who was a king? Where should he have been? The battle. It's not that hard. He wasn't where he should be. He wasn't doing what he should be doing. By the way, that's always the genesis of every problem. We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're doing something else. And it could be we're doing something wrong, but more often than not, it starts with the fact that we're not doing something that was right. That's the problem. By the way, if you have responsibilities, you ought to take them. Just because it's summer, let's not let things go. If you want to have a summer to forget, just start ignoring your responsibilities. Don't be faithful to church. I've been doing this long enough. When people start missing church, bad things happen. They're starting down that road. Well, I'm just going to miss one Sunday. You know, what's the big deal? Well, I know if I don't miss one Sunday, I won't miss two. And once we start missing them and we think of all these, it's just, we get in trouble. By the way, well, we're coming to church, but we quit serving or being faithful in our ministries. By the way, if you serve, be faithful. It's summer. You have a Sunday school class, show up, be there, be on time. If you work in the nursery, I'm praying for you, okay? But be there on time. We need your help, those little ones. If you drive a bus or you're a bus worker or you just name the ministry, be faithful. Be on time. Give it your all. Summer is no time to slack. Be faithful in sharing the gospel. By the way, people are more open in the summer. Be here on Tuesday night. We'll have a great time together. Be responsible in giving. And I'll be honest with you, you are. Thank you for that. Well, I'm on vacation, so I'm not going to give to God. We give to God all the time. Well, then thank you for the two of you that believe that. By the way, just because it's summer, we still do the right thing. Still do the right thing. Well, you know, my family's having this party, and it's going to be a bunch of alcohol and all this nonsense, and I'm going to feel pressured. Then either go there and make an appearance or don't go. I'm not going to let anybody pressure me into doing wrong. I don't care if we share the last name or we share the same DNA. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. I'm not going to be rude to them either, by the way. Okay, but I'm not going to do it. Make sure it's summer. Make sure you spend your time with God. It's funny. You know what's funny? The more time we have, the harder it is to do the things we're supposed to do. You ever notice that? It's like, well, we're on schedule, everything's easy, right? We keep doing it, but now it's like we have more time to read our Bible, and so we read it less. Because time just kind of has a way of getting away from us. It's just around, let's be right. Let's fulfill our responsibilities, always being the right spouse, always being the right kind of parent, always being the right kind of Christian. If you want to make sure that you are always in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, then just make sure you fulfill your God-given responsibilities. Don't see him as optional. And then his response was ignorant. At the bottom it says, David tarried still at Jerusalem. Now, last time I checked, the battle wasn't taking place at Jerusalem. He was in the wrong spot. By the way, wherever you're at in life, you're there because you choose to be there. It's not on anybody else. Well, you know, somebody let me down. I get it. But get over it. Why do we comfort ourselves in putting ourselves in a bad situation because of the actions of somebody else? They'll pay for their actions. Don't decide for you to have to pay for their actions. Move on. Do the right thing. They'll pay the consequences. See, we blame others for what's going on in our life and we comfort ourselves, and it's like, no, move on from that. Don't let someone else drag you down. Don't excuse yourself by blaming circumstances. By the way, all of us are going to face bad circumstances. They're obstacles. They're not roadblocks. Okay? Go over them, around them, under them, through them, or take a different road to get where you're. Get there. Don't hurt yourself by blaming the past. By the way, Satan is good at using, he'll use somebody else, he'll use circumstances, and if that doesn't work, he'll use you. Well, you know, I grew up in a dysfunctional family. Get in line. Now, I get it. Some are more dysfunctional than others, but you know what? Don't let that stop you. Go forward. Get over all of that. God has something better for you. By the way, if you're saved, you're not in a dysfunctional family anymore. You're in God's family. So he was where he should not have been. Then, here we go, this may get less popular, okay? Instead of avoiding, he indulged. He indulged. See, he's in the wrong place. So because he's in the wrong place, he now has the opportunity to do the wrong thing. Look, when you're out there battling other soldiers all day, you're not going to see some woman taking a bath. You're going to see a bunch of ugly guys sweating, and you're going to be chopping heads off, and you're going to be like, yeah, you know, campfire stories, all that stuff, okay? And he wasn't there. So because he wasn't there, he got himself in a boatload of trouble. You want to avoid that which is wrong? Always make sure that you're doing that which is right. The Bible says, let him that stole steal no more. Okay, you know, you do the opposite. So instead of stealing, I don't steal. Instead of doing wrong, I do right. It's very easy. David's avoidance of doing what he should do led him down the path of, now he's on the path now of taking steps to the wrong place. How did it start? Let me give you a couple thoughts before we finish here. It started with sight. Verse 2, and it came to pass at evening tide that David arose from off his bed, walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman washing herself. And I like the next phrase. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Yeah, that, it's always like that. Okay? It's like, let me throw, you know, it's like, I hate, that's a bad analogy, but like fishing, you got to have the right bait. She was the right bait. But he shouldn't have been out fishing. But he saw it. Instead of saying, oh, what am I doing? He's like, huh? Sight. He saw something he should not have seen. The point is, be careful what you place before your eyes. Because it starts the process of thinking, and the process of thinking always leads to a process of action. Job 31:2 says, I made a covenant with my eyes. Job said, you know, my eyes and I, we have an agreement. Here's the agreement. Why should I think upon a maid? Now stop it. And wouldn't we make an agreement with my eyes that I shouldn't look at certain things? But Job took it to the next step. He said, I made an agreement with my eyes. I'm not going to think around the wrong things. What he's saying is I don't want to look because what I look at, I start to think about. Be careful what you watch. Immorality is more prevalent in entertainment than ever before. And now it's all kinds of wicked, gay and transgendered and all this stuff they're throwing out there because they're trying to make it normal. And what you watch affects your thinking. Can I say this? It is summer, and I just... Why is it okay because it's summer for women to wear colored underwear in public? And I'll say this, bikinis are not colored underwear because they have less material. Are you serious? Why would I allow my daughter to go out in public showing herself like that? Well, it's hot. Get a fan. Turn the air conditioning on the car and hang out in there for a while. I don't get it. We think it's okay to start ripping our clothes off. By the way, not just your children, you ladies too. And some of you should just be very careful about it. It's not very becoming. And husbands, why would you want to show your wife to everybody? It's summer. Maybe if we lived in Antarctica, it'd be all right. Okay, it's like, I'll never understand that. If you told a lady, said, hey, why don't we all walk around today in our underwear, they'd be, oh. But throw a bunny or a heart or a polka dot on it, it's okay. I'm sorry. We can't control what the ladies out there wear, but we can control whether or not we look. I mean, sometimes you look and say, oh. But don't look and say, is that really what I saw? Look the other way. Look the other way. You're not looking at her because it's like, oh, you know, blue with pink polka dots has always been my favorite colors. I'm not stupid. Maybe ignorant. But don't look. Be careful what we're watching. Because then you take the next step. Verse 3. And David sent and inquired after the woman. Hey, who's this woman? Like, bro, you shouldn't have been looking. But he's like, man, I want to know her name. I'm going to pray for her. She shouldn't be taking a bath publicly. Let me just pray. No. And they said it's Bathsheba. Because look, when we allow ourselves to indulge by sight, now listen to me, parents. Curiosity is piqued. You let your kids have cell phones, curiosity is piqued. Well, my teenager needs a cell phone. Two answers to that. No, they don't. And if you want to give them a cell phone, give them a flip phone. It's cheaper. And you're not going to see what you can see on a regular phone. And it's everywhere. They get on there, and it's like they see it. Oh, they're just going to see it and say, I'm just looking. No. It creates curiosity. And it doesn't even have to be that. It's everything. Whenever we allow ourselves to get immersed in something that we shouldn't have, we start to look at it and start thinking about it, curiosity peaks, and now we take the next step. It's like these ninnies that are married, and they start getting on social media, and they reach out to an old boyfriend or an old girlfriend. You know, I'm just seeing how they're doing. You don't need to see how they're doing. Let somebody else deal with them. Well, you know, I just wanted to talk. No, stop it. I may have been born yesterday, but I was up all night, okay? Let's not go the next step. By the way, and you say, Pastor, you shouldn't say these. I'm trying to help us. All the garbage that they're teaching in our school system, it's killing our children. We had a girl, and I'll be sensitive here. This was many years ago. She was coming, I think, a bus kid, coming for a while, doing pretty good, all this stuff, I guess. And came to find out, she was a lesbian. But I heard the story. Her and some of the other girls that would come on the bus, they were getting together. I heard the story from one of the adults. They said they were talking, saying, you know, we keep hearing in school that maybe we're lesbians. And they started, maybe one of us is. Look, you can't hear that stuff on a regular basis and not have it affect you. And you, if your kids go to a public school, first of all, you ought to put them in our Christian school. That didn't go very well. Well, I'm a pastor and I'm not going to stand before God. I'm not going to stand before God and say I didn't say it. But you might want to check out what they're teaching. No, my school's different. You know, it's in a nicer area of Long Beach. The curriculum's the same. They're teaching the same stuff. And it's dangerous. I'm telling you, it's dangerous. No, my kid can handle it. No kid can handle it. When I was in fifth grade, they taught us a sex ed class. With picture cartoons and everything. Correct terminology, right? Because our teacher had to. And then our teacher chewed us out because we went around using the words they taught us. Now, we used them in the wrong, we were calling each other those names, and we shouldn't have. But I remember she called us in and chewed us out, and I was thinking as a 10-year-old, I'm thinking, you taught us this. What did you expect? Okay. Curiosity. Be very, very careful. Now let's get back to summer. The best way to overcome temptation is to avoid it. Okay? And summer's a time when we really can fulfill the flesh. And then what happens when we do all of this, now we sin. He went and took her and brought her. He went too far, and now he sinned. By the way, we should not have been surprised. He was curious about her, so he sent to find out. When he sent to get close to find out, he got close to her. When he got close to her, he did the wrong thing with her. So if he didn't want to do the wrong thing with her, don't get close to her, don't send for her, don't look at her, walk away. And then lastly here, really, how he handled it after it happened. Instead of confessing, he plotted. Verse 5, and the woman conceived and told David, and that's verse 5 and 6, and he just, look, sometimes we do things wrong, and hopefully it's not the horrific things, right? Maybe we're at the front end of the temptation, and we've kind of, okay, you know what we do? Let's confess that right there. Let's deal with it right there. Let's not cover it up. I've been doing this a long time. Teenagers are great. You got a youth director, early days of our church, and bring them in, and they're like, oh, no. You give them the opportunity, like, hey, look, you got caught doing this. You know, we had some teenage bunch of kids one time, and they were, you know, hey, no, we're not. We're going over here. We're not. Are you sure? I heard rumors you're going to do something. No. Well, I knew where they were at. So I drove to the pool hall. Walked in. Yeah, you lied. Okay? When you're a Christian, if you start heading the wrong direction, God's going to kind of prompt you, right? And at that point, say, you got me, God. You got me. I don't want to go any farther with this. Let me confess this thing and let me go. Don't plot. And because he didn't do that, lastly, and this is last, instead of being cleansed, he harmed others. He harmed himself, first of all. He lost his wives. And I'm not going to tell you the story, but read the story of Absalom. He lost some of his wives. He lost some of his children. You know, I wonder where Amnon was pushed by his friend to immorality, but I wonder why it was a little bit easier for him. They all knew what Dad did. And then he harmed others. His family was a train wreck. So many things that happened. He lost 4 of his kids, some horrifically. The point is, the decisions we make, they can have long-lasting and negative and destructive effects on those we love. Well, I'm just going to sit out of church for a while. Okay. What about those little ones in your house? They're watching. They're watching. Then you start to stray. Those that are in our family, those we care about the most, they're going to stray forever. Yep. Well, I'll just be inconsistent. They'll be invisible eventually. Someone said that what we do in moderation, those around us, our families, will do to the excess. Yeah. Yeah. See? So we got to be very, very careful. Because we don't just affect ourselves, we affect others. Here's the point. Let's have a summer to remember. Let's have a life to remember. Let's be very, very careful. By the way, and I'm not, I hope that some of the things do irritate me, I get it. But I hope I'm not coming across as condemning, because I'll tell you what, it can happen to every single one of us. Nobody is bulletproof. David was not just some new believer. David was not just a nominal Christian at all. You know, read the book of Psalms. You know, it should be the book of Psalms of David and a couple others. Okay? A man after God's own heart. David was a good man, but he made the mistakes. He sinned. And I'm just thinking, man, if he can, I better be very careful. I'm nowhere near where he was. And the same is true of all of us. So let's be very, very careful. Very, very, very careful. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute. Thank you. I went a couple minutes longer than I should. I'm sorry. But I hope that we get the point. The point is, I don't want us to live with regret. Remember when Absalom died after his rebellion against David? By the way, he stole the kingdom from David. He was immoral with David's wives, his own son. He killed one of David's sons. He was bad news. And you know what happened when he died? The Bible said David cried and said, "Would to God I would have died for Absalom, my son. I wish I would have died in his place." You know what that is? That's regret. Let's live in such a way that we're not perfect, but we can avoid regret. Let's not let a time of year, and this message is for the whole year, let's not let a time of year let us get sloppy. Let's be faithful to the Lord in all things. Let us be careful at all times. By the way, I'm not hammering, but people just don't dress and act right in the summer. Let's be careful what we're watching. Fellas, we gotta look the other way. Let's have a great summer. That's why we provide things for us to be together. Maybe you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. The message applies to everybody, but let me say this. The first thing you need to live an eternity without regret is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You could live right your whole life, never have any of the stuff David had, but if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll regret it for all eternity. If you're here this morning and you're not 100% for sure that if you die today, you'd go to heaven, but you have some doubt, you don't have to have that. If you would say, "Pastor, I'm not 100% for sure if I die today, I'd go to heaven, but I would love to know that. Would you pray with me about that?" If there's anybody here, no one looking around, just quickly raise your hand and put it down, and then I'll pray for you. Anybody like that at all? Let's stand together. Let's be careful this summer. Let's be faithful. Let's be here to the services. Let's be doing the things we're supposed to be doing. Let's continue living and doing the right things. If God spoke to you at all, why don't you come? The piano will play.